Already done so, and chapter number 133. I want to take this passage as a text tonight, as I use as a springboard, and try to bring the message I feel like God had me to preach tonight. I'm not going to say probably nothing you haven't already heard, but I feel like it's what God wants for us tonight. Psalm 133, and let's please stand together for the reading of God's Word. You can stretch and we'll reverence God at the same time. Psalm 133 and verse number 1 says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, and went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descendeth upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore." Our Father, bless the reading of Thy Word. Stir our hearts tonight and give grace where it's needed. Give instruction, Lord, where it's required. I pray, Father, that You'll touch every heart, including mine tonight. Help us to see, Father, the great truth from these few verses of Scripture, and do a work for each of us, save that soul that's lost and without God. And we'll thank You for doing it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank You, and you can be seated. Now, I want to try to preach tonight. It may take me a little while to get into the message. But I want to try to preach tonight on unity in God's people. Now, I don't want anybody tonight to sull up on me and think that I'm here to try to straighten out a mess that our church is in. I mean that. As far as I know, there's more harmony and more unity and more love at Island Ford Baptist Church now than there ever has been. I say that in honesty. If there's a major problem in the church between any of our people, I know absolutely nothing about it. And I want to say this, I don't want to know anything about it. Amen. But God's laid this on my heart, and I think primarily for the ministry. And the bulk of my message tonight will be on prayer. So don't get alarmed. I'm going to preach primarily on prayer. But I believe God would have us to use this as a springboard into the message. The psalmist there, David, said, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." About the only time you ever hear that verse of Scripture quoted is at preacher fellowships. That's right. And what the pastor is saying when he quotes that most of the time is, don't any of you men preach anything that's any bit controversial. I wouldn't want to stir up anything or offend anybody, so just preach the gospel, amen, and we'll all be happy if you just preach the gospel and tell us about Jesus. But David said two things there about unity. He said it's good, and he said it's pleasant for brethren to dwell together in unity. And then he gave two illustrations of where that unity comes from. He said in verse number 2, it is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, and then it went all the way down to the skirts of his garments. Now, let me spiritualize, church, here for just a moment. That precious ointment in that chapter is without a doubt a type of the Holy Spirit. Ointment, oil, for the most part, is always a type of the Spirit of God. And I want to say there is a spiritual unity in the people of God by the bond of the Holy Ghost. And our brother Paul said in the book of Ephesians, he said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. Now, if you want to be worthy of and walk in worthiness of the vocation, or that is the salvation that God has called you into, then Paul said in verse 2 of where I'm reading in Ephesians 4, that it ought to be with all lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. And that word forbearing means the ability to suffer long with or to bear long with. I want to tell you tonight, church, how to keep the bond of the Spirit. And let me just read this other verse. He said in verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So there is a unity by the Holy Ghost in believers. But many times that bond of peace suffers greatly. Amen. If we're really saved by the grace of God and been born again from above, we all have received the indwelling Holy Ghost of God, and He is a bond of unity that binds us together in Christian love. But oftentimes it's difficult to keep that spiritual unity in harmony and in peace. And Brother Paul said the way to accomplish that is for you and I to be lowly like our Lord was. That's right. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and I am lowly in heart. A proud, arrogant heart will do more to damage the unity in the church than anything else that I know. But I'll tell you, if we'll walk in lowliness of mind and be a humble people and each esteem our brother more highly than ourselves, we'll do well to do that. And in doing so, we'll keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace that God wants us to have. Amen. Amen. That's right. And that's what David is saying in Psalm 138 there, or 133. That ointment is a type of the Holy Ghost that originates upon the head. Now, I shouldn't have to tell you what the head is. The head is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that ointment ran down the beard even to the skirts of Aaron's garments, which is down across his body, and the body is representative of you and I, the believers. And what David is saying is that the Holy Ghost, that precious ointment, stems from the head, which is Christ, and saturates the body. And by the power of the Holy Ghost, you and I have unity with God and with one another because we've been saved by the grace of God. That's right. That's right. It run down Aaron's beard, down to his skirts, even it said to the skirts of his garments, to the very bottom portion. In other words, that Holy Ghost will bind together in unity even the lowest of God's creatures that have been saved by the grace of God. I'm glad there's no big I's and little U's. Amen. In God's service, that's right. We're all one in Christ. That's right, and I'm not talking about that big invisible body. I'm talking about this one right here. We're all one in Christ. And each one in that body has got a purpose and a responsibility that God has given it, and we need to work in unity and harmony by the bond of the Holy Ghost to accomplish the work of God in this church and to bring glory to God. I want to say by way of introduction, God doesn't get much glory in feuding and fussing and fighting. No, sir. There's not much accomplished when we're feuding and fussing. But I'll tell you, when we're all in agreement, you see, most of the time when there's no bond of peace when there's no peace inside that unity. And by the way, folks, you can have a union without having unity. You can tie two tomcat's tails together and throw them over a clothesline. You got a union, but you ain't got unity. They'll fight and claw. Amen. But what David is saying is that the Holy Ghost puts us all in agreement with one another. And we're all in one accord with one another. And we all are to labor together for the same purpose. And that is to bring glory to God and to win souls to Christ and snatch those that are on the very threshold of hell by the grace of God and bring them into the fold of God. That's right. You see, you can't work. You can't. If you're not in that bond of peace, you're not going to have much work together. You're going to be pulling against one another and striving against one another. But let me say now, and I want to get into the message. Let me give you some areas that we need to be unified in. Now, I'll not be long now, so don't. I won't preach what God's given me. I believe it'll help us. But there's some areas of our Christianity that God wants us to have unity in. Somebody said, well, what? Well, I believe God wants us to be unified in our faith. He said in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 4 and verse 12, verse 11, He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. For what reason, Brother Paul? For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all, here it is, till we all come in the unity of the faith. And what is the unity of faith? It's unto a perfect man. Under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I believe what Brother Paul's saying there, that he wants the members of that local body to have the same measure of faith. He said he gave them evangelists. He gave them pastors. He gave them prophets and teachers for the edifying of that body, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, that it might bring them into unity of faith. That is, that there ain't no mature Christians and there ain't no babies.
Right.
Yes. Isn't that a wonderful thing? That God wants us to be on an equal plan when it comes to faith?
Yes.
That's right. And how do you get there? Through the preaching.
Right.
Through those men that God given down at the church house.
Amen.
To preach to you and instruct you in the Word of God. To bring that body into unity.
Yes.
It's a strange thing to me how people can receive the same preaching, the same songs, same prayer meetings, the same type of worship service, and yet some seem to excel in their faith and grow in maturity and grace and knowledge of the Son of God, and yet others, like those in Hebrews chapter number 5, they remain babies in Christ and need to be fed with milk and not meat, and need to be taught again what be the first principles of the oracles of Christ.
Yeah, right.
Isn't that amazing?
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Under the same preacher. Under the same worship.
Amen.
Except under the same veil. But Paul said, don't get frustrated.
Amen.
Said, I want you all to come into that unity of faith. Unto a perfect man.
Amen.
To a mature Christian man. I'll be honest with you. Hey, I want every one of you in here faithful to God.
Amen.
That's right. I want everybody that's a member of this church to be able to pray and get a hold of God.
Amen.
I want all of you to be able to grip the promises of that book.
Amen.
And come to an understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I'll not be satisfied, neither with any man of God that's worth his salt. Be satisfied while a few excels and the others set idly by and never seem to accomplish anything in their Christian life.
Amen.
Exactly what everybody in the church needs. And I'm satisfied that if I will be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, I said if I will be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, somewhere along the line I'll get to every one of you. If I ain't got you yet to set their way, your turn may be next.
Amen.
I'll get you. Amen. The Holy Ghost will get you.
Amen.
Why? Because God, don't want one Christian living up here and another down here. He wants the body in Island Fork Baptist Church to be on an equal plane of grace. All of us mature in our faith.
Amen.
Sir,
amen.
And can I say this? A preacher's worthy salt cannot be at rest while there's inconsistencies and weaknesses in the body that he's pastoring over. I love you. That's why I try to tell you how you ought to live when you and what you need to do to be right.
Amen.
You ought to be faithful.
Amen.
That's why I preach to you. Then somebody said, you're mean, Lord, because I love you.
Amen.
And I want to get you elevated a little bit in God. That's what Paul said in the next verses, that you be not children henceforth, tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. I will
you stand by,
yes,
knowing what you believe and why you believe it. Bless your heart.
Amen.
I'm about to get preaching a little bit.
Amen.
Right. You see, there's too many folks out there. Why, I've never seen folks that claim to be saved called up in Chuck Swindoll.
Yeah, and, right.
And who's that other heretic? Stanley, but he's not the one I was thinking about, but he's a heretic.
Man.
I think he ought to draw you Southern Baptists may be listening. He's a, his wife, he can't even control his own family. I think he ought to get out of the ministry.
Amen.
He can't govern his own home and take care of his own family. His wife ought to get out of the ministry.
Amen.
Not disgrace because of Christ.
Amen.
Thank you. So it's one of them other fellows. Swindoll, and you mentioned his name out there today. Brother Tim, you don't remember his name? What about the guy on the motorcycle?
Well,
but there's another. And who did he go see?
Thompson.
Thompson! Hallelujah! We finally got there.
Amen. He wasn't worth mentioning. Amen. Man.
That's why Baptist folks today, church, don't know what they believe.
Right.
Amen.
That's right.
Right.
Amen.
Why? Hey, we've got independent Baptists. I believe some independent Baptists don't even believe the doctrines of grace.
Amen.
Why? Just you can just be anywhere at any given time, and all you have to do is believe to be saved. I'm telling you by the power and by the authority of the Word of God, if God don't draw you, and if the Holy Ghost don't convict you,
amen,
and if God don't rebuke you through the Word of God and reveal to you the Lord Jesus, amen, you better not be saved.
Amen.
We've got Baptists today that don't know nothing about repentance or nothing
about
the Holy Ghost. Amen. Don't know nothing about the doctrine of grace. We've got a bunch of working men that's trying to work their way to salvation. It's either all of God. It's either all of God or there is no salvation.
Amen.
You ask Jonah, brother, who is the author of salvation after he had spent 3 days in the belly of the whale, and Jonah saw that there was no help in Jonah. No cabin in heaven to get out of that whale belly. Oh, God, cry out. It says, salvation is in the Lord. And if that whale, if God didn't get him out of that whale, he'd die.
Amen.
So I tell you, if God don't do the saving,
amen,
and God will do it his way.
Right. Amen.
So you preach repentance today, and your label, you preach repentance as a preaching works for salvation. I won't say, friends, they're the ones preaching words for salvation.
Amen.
Boy, you think they're very doctrine. All they say, all you got to do is believe, and later on down the road, you can make him your Lord.
Yeah.
When you get good enough.
Yeah.
Get yourself good enough.
Yeah.
Then you can make him Lord. Since when can we get ourselves good
that's
enough
right
to even breathe that holy name?
Amen.
I tell you, friends, all of grace. Is my story all the way, Lord the Lord. Since thy grace he lifted me from
me.
That's right. But it's grace.
Amen.
All of grace. For by grace are you saved through grace, and that not of yourself. It's not a gift either. It is the gift of God.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, grace is a free gift. But brother, I mean, faith is a free gift of God through grace. But everything else,
get on
your
own.
Amen.
You hear me well? Old brother Paul said there in the book of Hebrews that we ought to labor.
Amen.
To enter into that rest.
Amen.
That's right. You want it what I'm preaching on? You say you've left your text? No, I'm not.
Praise
the perfecting the saints we are. Come to the unity of the faith. Let me ask you, do you, does Island Ford Baptist, every member, is there enough faith in each one of us as we stand on Jordan Stormy Banks tonight and cast a wishful eye? Do you have enough faith to get on the other side?
Amen.
Or you like that tribe of Manasseh and them other tribes, if you want to be born around and stay on that side where you can feed your cattle and get a lot of grass there.
Yeah.
You can have all the secular prosperity you want.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
Amen. Do you know why they could not cross at Hades for them? Nobody said, why, preacher? Because they were were divided and there was no unity in them.
Yes.
10 of them said, we can't do it. Caleb and Joshua said, we can.
Yes.
And they cut their tails between their legs and went back.
Yes.
Wandered there for 40 years. All 20 years and above died yonder in the wilderness. And the children bore the horns of Mount and Daddy.
Amen.
Didn't have enough faith to get on the other side.
Right.
Honey, you better look at your life.
Right.
And look at your offspring that you're either bringing into the world or going to bring into the world or got to bring into the world. Because I'm telling you, who's going to suffer from your rebellion and your lack of faith is your family.
Amen.
That's right. You say you're not correct on it. Go back and read Numbers 14 and tell him not.
That's right. Amen.
Those children that God finally used 40 years later with Joshua to cross Jordan's river, their mommies and daddies said, we can't go in.
That's right.
But those are the ones, the very ones. I'm talking about 20 and under. They're the very ones that wandered in the wilderness for that 40 years.
Amen.
They're the ones that suffered from mom and daddy's rebellion and lack of faith when they stood at Daddy's barn and go in.
Amen.
Amen. God, I know that God brought out of Fort Baptist Church to that place of crossing at least 3 times in my ministry here. And I'm wondering how many more times God's going to suffer us and keep giving us another chance and another
opportunity.
That's right.
Amen.
I'm a preaching to some of you now.
Amen.
Amen. You don't want to heed. Some of you don't want to heed what the preacher says. I'll get along all right, preacher. I'll make it somehow. I'll make my own way. But I'm telling you that like Achan hindered the march of God in the eye, a one or two people out of the house of God will hinder the march of God at a victorious path for God's glory.
Amen.
I better go on around there. We'll get done. Now, and I'm not going to tarry too long on this. I really don't think I need to. But I really think that there should be unity, not only in our faith, but I think there ought to be unity in sanctification.
Amen.
Amen.
Furthermore, Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 1, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us, how you ought to walk.
Amen.
And please God. For what reason, Brother Paul, are you there in chapter 4 of verse 1? So ye would abound more and more.
Amen.
Now don't tell me that a consecrated, dedicated, sanctified life has nothing to do with our maturity and growth. I make a difference with you, Brother Paul, and it does.
Amen.
As we walk and please God more and more, it is thusly that we might abound.
Amen.
More and more.
Amen.
He said in verse 2, for you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Notice verse number 3. For this is the will of God.
Amen.
Even your sanctification, that ye abstain from fornication.
Amen.
That every, underline those words, every one of you,
right,
mommies, daddies, sons, daughters, grandpas, grandmas, have we got an English student in here, an English scholar? Sam, you took English this year. Stand up, son, just for a second. You're a preacher. That don't offend you, bother you to stand up. Would you please just briefly tell me what the term everyone means? I thought that's what it meant. Thank you, Brother Sam.
Amen.
That every one of you, not leaving out any,
amen,
should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor.
Amen.
Now, God wants us to have unity in sanctification.
Amen.
God wants us all consecrated, holy.
Amen.
Sanctified, holy, unto the Lord.
Amen.
Well, I believe God would rejoice if every member of our church is over TV, yeah?
Amen.
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 Great.
Amen.
Glory.
Amen.
Hallelujah to God.
Amen.
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 I believe God rejoices if some of you women throw your culottes and breeches out.
Amen.
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 Amen. Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, I'm not off base, church. I'm going to tell you something. Holiness,
yes,
is our great one of our greatest weapons.
Amen.
Amen.
And brother, we're dabbling around, yielding. Want everybody to listen now. Don't puff up now.
Listen. Amen.
That everyone know how to possess his vessel. That is, that we all know how to conduct ourselves in godliness and honesty.
Yes.
Ready before.
Amen.
Amen. You hear me and hear me well. A man or a woman that will deliberately put themselves in a place of testing and temptation is walking on thin ice.
Yes.
That's
right.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right. Amen. You get yourself in a place where you've got no business being. A place where the devil can tempt you.
Yes.
A place where you have no business being. You're presuming upon God and you're tempting God.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, preacher, you don't know. I've got the power, buddy. I can take care of it. I'm going to tell you what you are. You're weak.
Yes.
Amen. And your flesh is weak. You want to have faith in himself that I can stand. You better take heed under your leg or I'll fall.
Right.
Amen.
I've got news for you. You can't stand.
Amen. Right.
Somebody that will deliberately place himself in a position to have to resist sin in their life is tempting God, provoking God. Amen.
Amen.
And if you think God's going to help you in the hour of temptation, buddy, you're crazy.
Man.
Right. You know the best weapon for possessing? You say you're off your text. That means you said we ought to know how to possess.
Amen.
Our vessel.
Amen.
That's our body, our life.
Amen.
We ought to know how to possess this thing in sanctification and honor. In other words, we ought to be able to bring our body under.
Amen.
Wouldn't it be terrible? Wouldn't it be terrible if after I preach to you for about 7 years now to get the television and next week y'all hurt for the whole handball?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all medicine deal with me.
Man. Right.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
Right.
Amen. Right.
I'll never forget 3 or 4 years ago, I was asleep, went to bed one night, and I dreamed that I was smoking a cigarette. Miss Sharon, I woke up in the bed crying. I said, I don't want to smoke. Please don't make me cry. I said, I'm not crying. Because I thought I was smoking a cigarette. And by the way, get me now. I'm not giving you a license to suck cigarettes, but I'd a whole lot rather have a man or a woman to smoke than I would a fire.
Man.
Amen.
Man.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Paul.
Amen.
Amen.
You say, I don't agree with that. You don't have to. And you've not had the knife experience as many times as I have. Maybe your fifth rib ain't quite as sore as mine.
Amen.
But a man that smokes or a woman smokes ain't doing nothing but damaging a robot of their own body but a liar.
Man. Right.
Or jealousy.
Amen.
Wow!
Amen.
Oh, jealous!
Amen.
I'd rather have a smoker than I would a whoremonger.
Amen.
And I want to remind you, neighbor, in so many words, Jesus said, if a man commits adultery with a woman in his heart, it's just like committing the very act.
Yeah.
Somebody said, well,
We're under grace, and I know we're under grace. The grace, brother, don't give us a man, but it is just God.
Amen.
I'm telling you, there's more to this thing of sanctification than just cut your hair and put
it on.
Brother, you need to know how to possess yourself.
Amen.
Keep the right spirit,
sure.
The right attitude, the right frame of mind. Possess your vessel, men, around the home with your wives.
Amen.
Funny to me, most men know what somebody else's home needs, and they're the ones most of the time that needs some help.
You're right.
Amen. I'll tell you where you better get your help. On your knees and out of that door
to do the power of the Holy Ghost.
Fellow that I know, and you know, and if I mention his name, everybody in here know him. Come to the meeting up in North Carolina where I was preaching, tried to shout, and it was as empty as a blessed God's a barrel with nothing in it. Wearing a necklace, smoking cigarettes, a Bible college graduate, and an ordained man of God. You think that's possessing your vessel in sanctification and honor?
Amen.
Hey!
Amen.
I've been around long enough that I can look in people's lives and pick out some shortcomings in their lives, sure, it's going to hurt them down the road.
Amen.
Amen. This man didn't have any problems going on the staff where the preacher was a double married man. I said to myself right there years ago, I said, he's headed for trouble.
Amen.
Better go on to something else, preacher.
Well,
on the day of Pentecost.
Amen.
In Acts chapter number 2, the Bible said they were all with one accord in one place.
Amen.
They had unity, didn't they? Now, y'all ain't going to leave me now, are you? I see some of you with that blame look in your eyes. You can pick your nose when you get home.
Man.
They were all with one accord in one place.
Amen.
They had unity. Somebody said, preacher, where was their unity? Acts chapter 1, verse number 14. We're going through these and going to the house. When they met in the upper room in verse 14, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. Somebody said, well, they met down there and had a men's prayer meeting. No, the Bible said that they met with prayer and supplication with the women.
Amen.
They were all down there praying for the promise of God. I wonder what had happened if every member of our church would show up for about promise of the Father upon you. And they tarried there in Jerusalem in one accord waiting on the promise of God.
Yeah.
And they did it in prayer.
That's right.
Now, boy, if I preach all them, we're in trouble.
Yeah.
I've got 17 thoughts written down in my Bible on prayer. And as slow as I've been preaching tonight, why, it ain't even made a call.
Great.
Hey, God, I might get all 17 and then 17 more.
Amen.
Look here, church. I'm glad that prayer avails, and where two or three are gathered together in my name, there will I be in the midst. And prayer works.
Amen.
And God will honor prayer on one man. He did on Nehemiah.
Sure.
But I want to remind you that we are a body.
Amen.
If you're a member of Adam for death, you're a part of the body.
Amen.
Now, wouldn't that look strange and was walking on a crutch on this side that had my left leg gone and my right arm. Do you really believe that I could accomplish as much as I could with the left leg and the right arm on my body? Somebody said, you're stretching. No, I'm not. You are that body.
Right.
What did I say in Psalm 133? That oil.
Amen.
From the head down to the beard, even to the skirts of Aaron's garments.
Amen.
That over the body. That
Amen.
Whole body.
Amen.
Functionized from the ointment of God. Amen. And bonded together by the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Well, let me mention some of these things. They were all there in one accord in prayer. They were standing in unity of prayer.
Amen.
Prayer is the holiest exercise of any believer.
Yeah.
The holiest! And we minimize it. I'm telling you, the power of God and the blessings of heaven are slipping through our fingers and souls are dying and going to hell because we neglect the holy exercise of prayer.
Yeah.
Prayer is our solace in trouble. I'm going to tell you why some of you never get the victory over things. You've never learned to pray.
Amen.
We'll sit and we'll moan and groan and complain and bellyache and look for the answers to our problems when they're in prayer. Why do you think Jesus said, casting all your care upon me because I care for you?
Amen.
You think he said that? For in order for us to do it, can Him sit back and laugh at us?
Great.
When old Joshua went against Jericho, the first thing he did was went out and begin to pray as he looked up his eyes. He said, oh man, could you for us or against us? He said, neither one, buddy, I've come to take over.
Amen.
He said, I'm the captain of the Lord's host.
Amen.
Amen.
There was a man in trouble, needed God.
Amen.
Somebody said, well, I'm not in any kind of trouble. God help you.
Amen.
We're anemic tonight, church.
Amen.
I said, I don't like you to preach like that. Don't make any difference to me whether you like it or not. I'm telling you, we're anemic tonight.
Amen.
And we're about to unite in our prayer life with one accord to reach souls for God.
Amen.
Some of you men's never been in a prayer meeting since I've pastored here in over 7 years. Prayer is our support in weakness. What was that song? Just go to Him in prayer.
Amen.
It will be worth it all.
Yeah, amen.
Wonder why we're weak. Prayer bolsters us up and stabilizes us.
Amen.
Strengthens us. It's our very support in our weakness. Prayer is our salver of doubts and perplexities.
Amen.
Some of y'all wrestle with your salvation, worry about being saved. You're saved today, tomorrow you're lost. And I preached one time on doubts and the fact that how we doubt because we've never gotten behind the veil in the presence of God. I'm glad that there's assurance of salvation, but bless your heart that you never walk past it behind the veil.
Yes.
Where God is at. Into the presence of God by prayer. It'll do more for your Christian life.
Yes.
Prayer is our safety in peril. And old Paul in Acts 27 was out on that sea in that Euryclidon, and that ship tossed to and fro. He prayed. He went below and began to pray. And when he came back to the top deck, he said, brethren, there stood by me an angel of the Lord, whose I am and whom I serve.
Amen.
He said, there'll not be a man lost, but of the ship be lost.
Amen.
And he said, brethren, I believe God.
Amen.
Always trouble on the right hand, trouble on the left hand. The very resource, that will deliver us in that trouble is within our own being.
through prayer. Just breathe that holy name in prayer. Somebody said, I can't get along. You can pray riding down the road in your car. You can pray on the job. You can pray aloud. You can pray silently. You can pray anywhere you want to pray at any given time. I'm going to say this. Look here. But the prayers,
hey! The prayers that get through to God are those that are prompted by God.
Amen.
It will be a happy day when we learn to pray wherever we are and God promises.
Amen.
Except eating our dinner in Mars, drop my head and begin to pray. Right. Somebody said, in a restaurant, preacher? Why not?
Amen.
Why not? Well, that's a... Isn't that them awful embarrassing? Imperative to pray, to call upon God?
Great.
Where are we living today?
Right.
Embarrassing to have prayer with God and to know that the blessings of heaven here in a simple utterance of prayer to call upon God's grace. That's not embarrassing to me. I'm not embarrassed for people to know that I depend on God.
Amen.
Nobody said a word. 36 hours later, Steve looked over me and said, would you pray in that restaurant? I said, yes, that's all it was saying. But I touched him.
I touched him!
Amen.
If we can touch the hem of his garment, you hear
me?
That little woman tripped along on her hands and knees. And touched his garment. And he said, I feel virtue go out of me.
Yes.
Brother, it's when we press in prayer to touch his garment and reach out and touch him that the virtue of God will flow from the throne. But it ain't something about it. I would to God I could just understand it and explain it all well, but I can't. Buddy, there's just something about when you touch God, you can just feel that virtue in your soul.
Amen.
It's our unfailing resources in adversity. Unfailing resources in adversity. It's our balance in prosperity. Do you know why? Some folks, when they get a little prosperous, they quit praying. They get out and quit serving God. I'm going to tell you why. They quit praying.
Amen.
Don't need to depend on God no more. Depend on that Almighty Father.
That's right. Yeah.
It's our weapon in every conflict. We wrestle not with flesh and blood, brethren.
Amen.
It's the key that opens the door to the heavenly treasure house. Genuine prayer involves thought. There must be time of meditation. Genuine prayer is a diligent inquiry. Have you ever made an inquiry into the heart of God about the circumstances of your life that you're living in now? I've never questioned God as far as doubting God. But I have tried to find out what God wants me to learn from the trial that we've been going through.
Amen.
There's something there for us to learn.
Yes, sir.
And through prayer, diligently inquiring the throne of God, God will give an answer.
Amen.
Prayer is passionate entreaty. Somebody should command God. Better beg him!
Yes.
Right.
Prayer is unwearied perseverance. We pray one time and don't get the answer. Rather than being like Elijah, we quit. Elijah just said, you go look 7 times.
Amen.
See, if God don't give us the answer right now, we give up.
Right.
Peter, I ain't giving up. I thought about giving up on that, but I said, God, give me too much to pray about that. I think I just pray a little bit more.
Amen.
Prayer is the highest blessing of Christian life. Prayer gives the brightest visions of God.
Amen.
Because it brings us into contact and into presence with the Holy God.
Amen.
Somebody said, do you believe in visions? Those kind of visions. I'm pretty sure. You ever see God in prayer? I'm not talking about literally seeing an image of God.
That's
So prayer lifts us up above the circumstances. It lifts us up into the heavenlies, into the presence of God.
Amen.
And bestows upon you and I heavenly visions. Many times visions that we cannot utter. There's been times in prayer that God, I prayed and God touched my soul. I wouldn't dare try to tell you about it. It was almost, you'd almost call me a fool.
Amen!
Prayer is the deepest insight into truth. Gives us the deepest insight into truth.
First thing they taught us in school, fellas, if you want to understand the Bible, pray for understanding the Bible. Prayer is the most ravishing ecstasy of the soul.
Man.
Amen. I guarantee you we start praying, and I'm talking about getting the Holy God before the church.
Amen.
We're not coming out of these prayer rooms and floating on cloud nine.
Amen.
Might come out of there a flying high.
Amen.
Just does something for the soul. God wants us in unity there.
Amen.
I'm going to say these and we're closed, and I'm not going to preach them. I want you to mark these in your Bible, though. We'll just mention them and we'll go to the house. In the book of Acts, they had unity in prayer.
Amen.
But in chapter 1 and verse 14, it said, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice. They had unity in their preaching.
Amen.
The 11 stood up with the man of God as he preached the word. I wonder how much unity we've got in preaching. I wonder how many of you in your mind right now is thinking, I wish you'd be like that.
Free.
They had unity in preaching. In verse number 42 of chapter number 2, it said, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. They had unity in their practice.
Amen.
Down in verse 46 and 47, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking of bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God.
Amen.
And having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. I won't say they had unity in their praise.
Man.
I know that got some of you right there.
Man.
Hallelujah to God. Every now and then I just want the devil to know I'm still saved.
Man.
Every now and then I'm just going to praise God and shout on credit.
Man.
And I said, I wouldn't do that. I'm going to every now and then. She gets too dry. You better bank on it. I'll shout on credit. Amen. I'll do my best to stir her up a little bit if I can every now and then.
Amen.
Listen, they had unity in faith, unity in sanctification, and unity in their stand.
Amen.
If we'll have that kind of unity, God will give us some victory here.
Amen.
Folks, a chain won't pull much if every link separated from itself.
Amen.
Now, as I want to reiterate, as far as I know, there's no fighting, no squabbling. But I would say this, that I doubt that we're all unified in faith. I doubt that we're all unified in our sanctification and prayer. And I'd say there's probably some folks that get a little tired of my preaching and my shouting, my big mouth, and my practice. But I'm going to keep on standing,
Amen.
Keep on
Amen.
Preaching,
Amen.
And keep on shouting
Amen.
The best I
Amen.
Can in Jesus Christ. What about you?
Amen.
Maybe somebody here tonight, you've never been saved. Don't know what it is to be saved. You've heard me talk about it, somebody else, but you don't really know what it is to be born again. Maybe somebody here tonight, and you're just a little disgruntled in some area of your life. Or maybe somebody here tonight, and you realize that your faith's not what it ought to be. Or your prayer life's not what it ought to be. And you want to ask God to help you live that way. You come tonight as we stand together with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.